Feel the rage! Now feel more rage!
Hello everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of Out of the Drying Pan, a Pokemon the Series podcast, where each week we discuss two episodes of the Pokemon series anime and whatever else happens to pop into our heads. Just a reminder, this is an E for Explicit podcast, so listener discretion is advised. And I'm joined today with my fabulously wonderful co-host, Austin.
Absolutely fabulous.
It's the dynamic duo again this week.
Yep, we don't have a guest star this week.
How do you feel? I was going to say, how do you feel about that? We don't have a third person.
Well, we do have two barking dogs at the door.
They could be our co-hosts.
They've appeared several times before.
You know, honestly, if we're keeping a running tally, I would say Bourbon and Moose are the most recurring guest stars on this podcast. They've shown up more than any human co-host, that's for sure. Mm. Except for Jacob, which
he's... I don't think he counts as a guest star. He's just on leave.
He's about to be in guest star status if he doesn't come back soon.
We said he can take off for as long as he needs.
That's true. Obviously, real life is more important than this podcast, I begrudgingly admit. Anyway, what have you been up to aside from trying to avoid the heat, Austin?
Well, I am at a different place I've never recorded before because I am dog sitting and house sitting again.
Wait, you've never recorded there before?
I never recorded in this room before.
Oh, I was about to say, I'm pretty sure.
I recorded in this house before.
What made you decide to choose this room?
Oh, they put a bunch of shit in the room I usually use to record. Oh. So I was like, God damn it, I gotta relocate.
Clean up your shit.
And I still had to move a bunch of shit.
Well, it sounds good to me.
Knock on wood.
How's the dogs doing?
Oh, they're brats.
So nothing's changed.
But they're not making any noise, so I'm suspicious.
It's like little kids, right? It's like when they are suddenly quiet, then you become suspicious. You're like, what's going on? What trouble have you gotten into? Is everybody still breathing? I'm not sure, but... All right. Anything else going on, Austin?
It's pretty low-key because I'm taking advantage of the streaming services I normally don't have access to. Oh. So I'm watching horror movies, even though it's a little early for that.
Yeah, okay, so right before the podcast, you had texted me that at 2 in the morning, you were watching Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey, so how did that go?
I started watching it at 2 in the morning, I lasted until about 2:01, and I had to stop.
That's not even past the credits.
Oh, I literally didn't get to the title card.
What?
But then I tried to watch it again this morning, and I fell asleep.
Okay, you can't watch a movie like that in the morning. That's not the right mood.
No, I knew it was going to be really horrible, so I just had to give it a go, and it just didn't work.
So, what did you say? It was the 3%?
3% Rotten Tomatoes. I don't think it deserved that. I think it deserved a zero.
So, you tried to watch it this morning, and you fell asleep. So, how far did you get? Did you get to the title card, or?
I got to the title card. And it was like one of those, like, your eyes are closed, but you're still listening kind of sleeps.
Oh, so like a dad thing.
I watched it. Don't make me watch it again.
That's such a dad thing. It's like, oh, you can't turn the TV channel because dad is watching the TV, but his eyes are closed. And he's like, I'm listening to it.
I have been an older man for a long time now.
It's official now?
Yeah, I'm aware.
Was it better or worse than, I'm trying to think of the worst movie we've ever seen. What's the worst movie we've ever watched together?
You and I?
Yeah. My mind immediately goes to the Yeti movie, but.
That would probably, I don't think we watched it together though.
No, we did.
Did we?
We absolutely did. Yes, we did.
Well, I blocked that out.
Okay. I know this is bad form for a podcast, but I'm like, I don't even want to discuss that. I bring it up, but I don't want to discuss it. I can't do it justice. You have to just look it up.
It wasn't a real movie, though. It was like college kids fucking around. Like, it wasn't a real movie. That doesn't count.
It's a film. Okay. All right. What about this question? What's the worst actual movie we've ever seen?
Oh, God, I genuinely have no idea.
We should have kept a logbook of, like, everything
we should watched. Watch Jonathan Livingston Seagull.
That's not the worst. That'd be the best. I don't know. I need to think about this. Listeners, if you want to, like, write into us and tell us what's the worst or best movie you've ever seen, I'm taking recommendations. I need to expand my horizons on film. Anyway, anything else going on? Or is that about it?
No, let's do your week next.
Oh, I'm sad to report that all my plants are dying. I know we talked about this, I think, a couple weeks back, maybe, when Austin and I went on a plant adventure.
All of mine have died multiple times at this
point. Oh, we didn't talk. Okay, I'm going to circle back because we didn't talk about the Roomba disaster of 2024.
There's been multiple Roomba disasters of 2024.
The most recent. The absolute slaughter catastrophe that happened. But yeah, my grass, I had little grass seeds I had in a little planter with a little owl on it. That died. My ivy, which I thought it was impossible to kill ivy, is wilting and dying. I've tried not watering it. I've tried watering it. I'm not sure what I'm doing wrong. Other big exciting news? Not really anything. It's been pretty calm. I've kind of got all my stuff settled now in my apartment, finally, after 6 months.
Okay, I found the Yeti movie, by the way.
Oh, you did not.
It's called Yeti, A Gay Love Story.
That's right. That's the whole title. Listeners, search that at your own discretion. I'm not even going to go farther than that.
Okay.
All right. So what about your Roomba disaster?
It could have been worse. I've seen online people saying like their dog shit at home and then the Roomba goes to the dog shit and tracks it all over the house.
Oh, no.
This was basically that, except it knocked over my plants, knocked the dirt all over everything, and then tracked the dirt everywhere. And it was also muddy. It's because I just watered it. So the mud got stuck in the Roomba's servos, the mechanisms.
Oh, no.
It's going to be, I think I just have a dirty house now.
And all your little plants, Austin had these little seedlings.
They're dead.
That were sprouting and that were gone, sucked They're up dead. Into the Roomba void. Yeah, dead.
The Roomba is a very jealous creature and violent by nature.
In cold blood.
This is not the first time this has happened, but it was the messiest time.
This makes me nervous. I actually bought a Roomba. I have the same model as you. It's not one of the new ones. It's the one that just sort of fumbles its way through. It doesn't have like any of the smart mapping features. It just sort of bounces off of stuff and in a random pattern. So I've been avoiding actually using it because I haven't had everything put together and I was afraid it was going to like get confused or knock something over. So this isn't really inspiring me to use it because every time you say, oh, the Roomba had a mishap, I'm like, oh, God. Anyway, that's it. I haven't really had anything else really going on. Nothing exciting.
Well, we had a comment on Spotify.
Oh, we did? Oh, gosh. What's it say?
We did. It's from our old friend Pokemon Megastar.
Awesome.
Pokemon Megastar says, these last couple episodes of the pod have been great. All the guests add quite the spice to the pod. I can't wait for the next episodes with everyone's favorite boy, Richie. Hope you all have a great day. Well, Pokemon Megastar, once again, we've disappointed you because we don't have a special guest star this week.
Oh, no.
Always letting Pokemon Megastar down.
I hope they bear with us. That's such a nice comment, though. Thank you so much for taking the time to share. We really appreciate all the feedback. Who knows? We might have another guest star coming up. We'll have to see.
I like having guest stars. I think it's fun.
Last week when we had my boyfriend on, he doesn't know anything about Pokemon. He didn't grow up with it. He's not really familiar with it. I mean, he did it because he enjoys watching it with me.
Oh, Josh, I think had my favorite drying pan moment of all time, though.
What?
His quoting Professor Namba.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, he is good at the voices, isn't he?
I think I'm going to use that as our intro for this episode.
I can appreciate somebody who can do voice acting. He does some voices. It's pretty entertaining. Hopefully he'll be willing to do it again.
Just a note, if you would like to join our Patreon, if you spend $20 a month to join the highest tier, you can be a guest star on our podcast.
That's right. For one episode of your choice, you can join us. Episodes do we have this week, Austin?
Throwing in the Noctowl and whatever the Jousting episode's called. Nerves of Steelix.
I really hate when they have really good episode titles because that makes it all that much harder for us to come up with a title for our episodes.
Yeah, and our episode titles are usually pretty shitty.
I don't know. I think we've had some good ones. What order are we in this week, Austin?
I've been really bad about orders lately. I don't remember.
You have one job, and that job every week is to be the randomizer guy.
30 jobs. I don't want to hear you have one job. What's your one job doing the bonus episode podcast? Don't talk with me.
My one job is telling you that I'm going to work on it and then not working on it.
Okay, I'm doing the 32nd for the first one and vice versa.
Okay. All right. I think I can remember that.
Okay.
Anything else we need to say or discuss before we jump into this bonanza?
Bonanza. Oh, you're watching Bonanza. That's right.
I forgot.
And Alex sent me a goddamn Snapchat of the Bonanza theme song at like 1 a.m. And I'm like, what the fuck are you doing? So I sent her Winnie the Pooh Blood and Honey.
Okay, so I didn't talk about this. I'm sorry to backtrack. I've gotten into Westerns recently. This seems to happen every time I visit my grandparents because...
I knew that's what it was.
That's what they watch. They're very much a product of their time. That's the thing my granddaddy loves to watch most of all. So every time I go over there, I get reintroduced to these shows from like the 50s and 60s. Let's just keep in mind that it's very much a product of its time. There are some problematic elements, but overall, I would call it entertaining. I like to watch stuff like that because I like to see the dichotomy of like shows and film then and then now. Cinematography, the dialogue, it's very interesting. So I've gotten through the first like 4 episodes of Bonanza.
How many episodes is Bonanza? That was on forever.
It's 14 seasons.
Oh Christ almighty. And that's old TV, so those are long seasons.
Yes, it's about an hour each episode and they have long seasons. And as we all know by now, if you're familiar with me, if you're familiar with the podcast, you should know that I don't end up committing to one thing at any given time. I eventually fall off of the wagon, but I've been enjoying it so far. It's kind of interesting for what it is. So all the people that are on it are dead now. So that's always a weird thing to like think about when you're watching old shows.
My parents' shows of choice at the moment are In the Heat of the Night.
Oh my God.
And The Waltons.
Sidney Poitier.
No, not Sidney Poitier. He's not in the show.
He's in the movie. Several years back, I was into, like, super big into In the Heat of the Night, and Austin got me a couple of DVDs and the movie. Oh my gosh, I'm such an old person. You sit there and talk about you being beyond your years. If I'm not sitting here talking about Bonanza and In the Heat of the Night, I don't know.
It should be noted when I say I'm beyond my years, I'm saying that, like, derogatorily.
I like old TV. It's kind of interesting. Anyway, so that was that. I guess that's exciting, but...
I guess we should talk about Pokemon at some point.
We should talk about Pokemon at some point. We've been blabbering on for like 20 minutes. So we're going to start out with throwing in the Noctowl. And Austin, you said you're doing the 30 seconds?
Yep.
Whenever you are ready, throwing in the Noctowl in 3, 2, 1, go.
Okay, so you remember that episode where the Twerps went from Kanto to the Orange Islands and they were in a blimp and they kept on falling to the floor and Jigglypuff was there and it like put everyone to sleep? And they kept on almost crashing. So it's like that episode, but on a seaplane. And there's a crusty old, senile old sea captain and his bearded Noctowl with him. And Jigglypuff's there too. And it's really pretty much a repeat. Like, you don't even need to discuss this episode because you already have before. That's pretty much it. Throw it in the Noctowl. Bye. Throw it in that Noctowl.
Oh my God. I love how you had to fill the end there. Oh my gosh. Now that you mention that, this really is a beat-for-beat repeat of that episode.
But, like, not as fun.
No, not as fun at all.
And we're not even going to discuss how blimps work for 40 minutes.
How do blimps work? I'm still not sure.
Let's do that instead. Okay.
Okay. How do planes work? Because I have a lot of critique on, like, the physics of this episode and what is actually possible in the realm of reality.
None of it. None of it's possible.
None of it.
Not a single thing that happened in this episode is possible.
Okay.
Unlike all the other episodes that are 100% totally logical.
So now that we've gotten all of our Whirl Island adventures out of the way.
I'm going to miss that map.
Oh, the one with like the striking colors where it's 3 islands that are red, blue, and yellow.
Yes, I think every episode should start with a map.
We need to have a map because we get lost a lot.
Yes, we do.
Oh, goodbye, map. Anyway, we're back to real life, and Ash and company finally catch up with Janina, the girl, if you remember her. She's the young gym assistant from Olivine who pretended to be Jasmine that one episode.
I think Janina has more appearances than Gary at this point.
Oh my gosh, is that true?
I think so.
So yeah, Jasmine seems to be back to her old self. Sparkle, the Ampharos that should have just been Amphi. But isn't. She's feeling better, so now Jasmine is actually ready to perform her duties as a gym leader. So Ash is like, great, we'll be right over. We'll see you tonight. And they go down to the docks to take the ferry over, but discover that it's mysteriously missing. Dun dun dun. It turns out that they are an hour late. That's a long time. Like, maybe, like, 5 minutes I can see that, but you're an hour late. You deserve to miss it.
Was there, like, a daylight savings time commentary happening? I didn't understand.
I don't know, but I feel like this is something that should be easily, like, accessible in terms of information. Like, they're always looking at the ferry schedule. They just spent a bunch of time ferrying around these islands, so I'm not really sure how they missed that. But luckily, there's an old fisherman guy who... I don't know, how long does he sit there and wait? Because I feel like after like 30 minutes, you're like, okay, anybody who missed this ferry is like come and gone. But he's been there for over an hour.
I think this is the first time he's had any clients in like years. Because his plane is falling apart.
I don't know, we'll talk about him because he's an interesting character. But yeah, this guy has disguised himself as a local fisherman. And he's telling them that they missed the ferry by an hour. But that the next one runs at the same time it always runs tomorrow morning. So if they want to catch the boat, they'll have to wait a whole day. And this is just unacceptable to Ash and friends for whatever reason. I really don't know what the danger would be by missing a day. But it's absolutely imperative that they get over to Olivine.
I'm on the twerp side. Let's get the fuck on. Let's not dwaddle any longer. Let's move on.
That's true. That's true. I guess there's something to be said of like, I'm not sure the overall timeline, but like, as far as the championship goes, you'd have to think that there's some kind of like final deadline in mind, right? Like, oh, the championship is going to be happening in December, so we have to get all the stuff done by that time.
They never once mention any deadline. It's just like whenever.
Yeah, whenever the fancy strikes them, they're just like, okay, we're just going to go. And they put on a whole competition just for Ash. Anyway, so they decide to follow this man because he tells them that there's a courier service called the Hoot Hoot Express that could take them over on a plane. And then he starts like weirdly talking to himself that it's just ingenious that he dressed up as a fisherman and directs tourists to his business because it's lucrative. And they're like, oh, what? And he's like, oh, never mind, come with me. So they make their way over to the abandoned warehouse on the edge of town. And they're greeted by the same guy with a giant mustache, and he calls himself Wings Alexander.
Did you relate to him sharing a name?
I did, because I myself am a small mustachioed gentleman who is senile and has an old bird that I just keep that sleeps all the time. So he's like, yeah, this whole time he was talking about how he was going to get business for his like failing courier service, but ends up not charging them anything because instead they just do some odd chores for him because he keeps a lot of Pokemon for whatever reason. Why does he have all those Pokemon?
I don't have answers for this episode. Like, I'm truly just on autopilot at this point. I'm like, get back to the Johto mainland.
That's how we have to help him with his chores before we can. So this guy, he's got a couple Ponyta. He's got some Weepinbell, some Sandshrew. I'm sure there were others that I blocked out. But yeah, he keeps a menagerie of Pokemon for some reason, and in exchange for the twerp shoveling some shit, he's like, I'll just take you over there for free.
I wonder why he has a failing business.
They meet Wing's grizzled old Noctowl, who is the evolved Hoot Hoot that's on the sign of the business. And I thought this was going to be an episode that was, like, way more...
Noctowl-focused?
Yeah, and spoiler alert, it's not at all. If you were expecting some kind of, like, juicy storyline involving Ash's Noctowl and this Noctowl, I'm sorry to say, that doesn't happen. He's old, though, this Noctowl, and he has a beard. This is the one thing I do like about the Noctowl, is the fact that it has a distinguishing characteristic.
A beard. It's the got owl a beard. Has a beard.
Yes.
Okay.
So, yeah, it sleeps most of the day because it's old and dying. So they're like, okay, now that we have all the chores done, we can make our way over to Olivine. So they get on this plane, which is like falling apart, and they start flying directly into a storm because apparently Wings Alexander didn't check the weather forecast. But then again, I guess these like oceanic storms seem to happen a lot. Meanwhile, Team Rocket's also there in their balloon. They are caught in the storm because I guess it just sort of happened because they make a comment about the weather forecast being wrong. So yeah, they are in their balloon. Keep in mind, they're in a hot air balloon. And this plane, I'm not sure how fast this plane is flying. It is a rust bucket, so maybe not so fast. But somehow they're keeping up with it. And the twerps are able to hear them screaming for help over the...
I loved the dialogue exchanges in this part.
Any specific thing?
Because they're in an airplane and they're hearing people in a hot air balloon that's keeping pace with them from 200 feet away.
Yeah, they're hundreds of feet away. There's a raging storm, which would absolutely drown out any screams of help. But somehow they're just having a conversation like you and I. Normal volume.
Maybe they called them.
They called them.
Yeah.
On their hot air balloon phone?
Yeah.
Okay. Actually, didn't... There was one hot air balloon episode. Don't ask me which one. There's been too many. But they had, like, satellite phones up there. Do you remember that?
Was it the Fly Me to the Moon?
Was it? No.
I think that was in the book. But also, they were communicating with Orville and Meowth through some sort of communication device.
That's true. Maybe it was that. Maybe it was something else. I don't know. Anyway, so they somehow... Do we even see this part? They rescue Team Rocket?
Yeah, that's what I wanted to see. I was like, I want to see how a rescue plane swoops in next to a hot air balloon, evacuates the passengers, and saves them. I want to see the logistics of that go down.
I don't think we were able to visualize that. We didn't get to see it happened off screen.
That's a shame.
It would never work in real life or at all, so they just sort of conveniently skipped that part. Also, another familiar face is here. Jigglypuff is flying around in the storm. How it got up there, I'm not sure.
They got swept away.
I guess. And again, this is so much... I mean, this is so much similar to the blimp episode that it's not even funny.
The blimp episode was way better. Jigglypuff literally had a sheet over its head and they thought it was a literal ghost because they had heard ghost stories about the blimp, the failing blimps that were actually part of Giovanni's, like, insurance fraud scheme.
Oh, right.
That was a much better episode.
I know, and Misty is, like, crawling through the blimp infrastructure, like, the beams that are, like, creaking creepily. Like, it's just, it's so much a better episode.
If you want people and Pokemon walking around surfaces in the sky, that way they would not be able to do so, get ready, because you're in for it in this episode.
The plane, meanwhile, is disintegrating all around them. Once Team Rocket is aboard, Team Rocket falls out, the whole floor falls out from under them, and they're, like, hanging on for dear life.
Just like in the blimp.
Yeah, Togepi also is enjoying this, because he's almost falling to his death, but Meowth manages to grab him before that happens.
Togepi loves nothing more than mortal peril.
So they finally get them back on board, but meanwhile, the propellers start flying off the plane.
The engines both start to fail.
I know. This is ridiculous. Did he not, like, do an inspection of his craft before they
Clearly
took
not.
Off?
Clearly not.
Thought you were supposed to inspect your craft.
No, this is highly illegal, all this.
It is. But we know who's responsible for not enforcing the law, and that's Officer Jetty, so.
She's too busy protecting the sea spirit.
That's right. This is the most ridiculous part. I almost had to, like, pause because I was laughing so hard. Ash is like, don't worry, guys. I'll take care of the engines that are flying off into the abyss. He opens the door. I mean, granted, I don't think they're at 30,000 feet. I think they're pretty close to the sea. Like, they're not flying high.
It looks like later, like, right above the sea surface.
Yeah.
That made a lot more sense to me.
So would you, I don't know, would you get sucked out at that altitude or not? I don't
Do
know.
Do not ask me.
I'm not sure. Anyway, he opens the door, which I would just hazard a guess to say that you shouldn't do that at any altitude in a moving plane.
There's also a giant hole in the bottom of the plane.
Yeah, there is a giant hole that they patched with wood planks somehow. But Ash opens the door. Then he jumps out. I don't know how he jumps out. He jumps out and latches himself onto the side of the plane like Spider-Man and starts crawling up the side of it. And then gets to the top where he calls out Bulbasaur and Bayleaf to fasten down the engine's propellers with their vine whip and just stay that way.
Yeah.
And meanwhile, the plane starts to nosedive because catastrophic power failure or something. So Misty is like, I can help with this. Easy peasy. So Poliwhirl and Staryu come out and she has them water gun the ocean to push the nose of the plane up so that it doesn't crash into the sea.
Are we sure this wasn't a dream that I had while watching Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey?
It may very well be a dream that you had, because none of it makes sense.
I mean, it follows dream logic for sure.
They're not out of the woods yet, because the murderous Jigglypuff is now on the plane and starts to sing, and they beg and plead with it, and they're like, please, Jigglypuff, please, if you've put us to sleep, we'll all die. And it's like, fuck your feelings, I don't care, and starts to sing. I think it gets hit by lightning, right?
Yes, God himself says, enough of this, and strikes Jigglypuff with lightning.
And it's lifted away and blown into the void.
Hell.
Yes. Hopefully this is the last time we see it.
Nope.
So even the wrath of God himself cannot stop Jigglypuff. But everyone then wakes up. This completely inconsequential action of Jigglypuff putting a pilot to sleep while the propellers fly off and the bottom falls off and everything else. They just wake up and they're fine. And this finally Spurs old man Noctowl to wake up after some very intense camera panning into its eyeball and then Wings Alexander and then back to Noctowl and then Wings Alexander again. And it wakes up and decides to take a rope.
It fastens the plane together with a rope.
And it kind of pulls a Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer and just sort of like guides the plane.
Well, it tows it. It tows the plane through the air.
Sure. Have we lost all power? Like, I'm not really sure why it's doing this.
I think this thing should be a heap of rubble by the end of this.
I wish they would have, like, crashed it, but whatever.
Into the rocks.
Yeah, they almost do. So, even with Old Man Noctowl guiding them, and Ash also lets out his Noctowl. Again, that's as much as we see of it, so there wasn't really a whole lot of Noctowl focus on this episode.
There was more Crobat than there was Noctowl in this episode.
Deservedly so.
Yes.
Crobat's way better.
Crobat was Ash's little protector.
I know. Oh, so yeah, I neglected to mention that Timothy the Crobat comes out and kind of latches onto Ash's back to keep him from flying off the plane, because why not? Old Man Noctowl doesn't really do a good job because the fog rolls in after the storm kind of subsides and leads them straight into a cliff. Because there's a blackout, none of the lights are on, so they can't see the city in Olivine.
Did they say there was a blackout?
They didn't say it, but I think they mentioned, like, where's all the lights?
But they didn't say there's a blackout. So that was, I was like, wait, what? Did I miss something?
I think the inference is just the power went out because there was a lightning storm.
The entire city has lost power.
Yes. So they can't see the lights of the city, so they don't know where they're supposed to be landing. But thank God we have the shining lighthouse and Sparkle the Ampharos, because without that little tail light, we would have crashed into the cliffs and exploded. So they're guided back on course. Somehow, Janina and Jasmine are just there waiting for them. I'm not sure how they know they were coming, but they're there.
I mean, they did tell Janina we're going to see you tonight.
Yeah, but they thought they were coming by boat.
Oh, shit. Good point.
They wouldn't have known that they would be flying in after a disastrous, you know.
Well, they were going to be in the lighthouse anyway because there was a citywide blackout, so they had to be there.
That's true. I guess they just happened to see them. That's a good point. So yeah, that's it. They reached Olivine City and are no worse for wear. Nothing happened. I think Wings Alexander should scrap that hunk of junk and retire because he clearly needs to be in a senior living assistant home.
I think he needs to be in jail.
That too. Anything else? I feel like I missed something, or is that just really the extent of that episode?
I assume this episode they worked backwards from we want them to return home to Sparky the Ampharos in the lighthouse to save them.
Right.
And they just worked backwards from there, and they just didn't come up with anything good.
I'm sorry, I'm distracted right now because I am literally sweating so much that I'm like dripping sweat.
I'm so sorry. I mean, you turn off the air conditioning because there's a horrible sound every time you speak on the podcast.
Yeah, so that was the thrilling Noctowl episode. Which is really, it really serves no other purpose other than a transitional episode to lead us into the long-anticipated Jasmine face-off.
That Jasmine episode better be worth it.
Was it?
Let's find out.
Okay. All right. Now, on to, what's the other one? Oh, Nerves of Steelix.
Nope. MVP, LVP, and quote.
Oh, I just wanted to get through. I was trying.
Sorry. You're first.
My MVP is going to be Timothy the Crobat for being a real one and making sure Ash didn't fly off into the sea. Also, because I love Crobat, my LVP is going to be Wings Alexander.
Yes.
For operating this highly illegal business, endangering the lives of several people in Pokemon, and then just fucking off at the end with no real consequence. And my quote is going to be, oh, I think the one where they're helping Wings with his chores around the house, and Brock says very sarcastically, he's like, and I'm always happy to help. There's nothing like cleaning out a smelly Ponyta stable that gets me in the mood to watch one of Ash's matches.
Oh, Brock.
I feel you, Brock.
I also have a Brock quote.
Go for it.
Well, this is kind of making fun of him. My favorite Brock line was, careful, that lightning is dangerous. Thanks, Brock.
Can I just follow that up with the thing that James says?
What did he say?
I'm pretty sure this happens in sequential order here. Brock is cautioning them about the lightning, and James is like, dangerous, don't be a wimp. And Jesse says, we get zapped by electricity all the time.
Yeah, Brock, shut up, you're worthless. But your Crobat can stay.
Right.
My MVP, I'll give it to Bulbasaur and Bayleaf for their amazing vine whipping skills. And my LVP, I'll give it to Jigglypuff.
Somebody,
I'm surprised Alex didn't.
I knew you were gonna pick it, so I picked
you. Did Wings. I didn't know. I didn't know that.
It was gonna get honorary LVP if you didn't.
Okay.
If I did, okay, so if I had picked Jigglypuff, who would have you picked?
Wings Alexander.
Okay. Go on, finish your thought. Drag Jigglypuff some more.
Oh, okay, I'll drag Jigglypuff some more. God, I think we only see it one more time in Johto. I could be wrong.
In Johto, he says.
I could be wrong.
I guess we have that to look forward to.
I gave Jigglypuff LVP to make you happy because I know you're so mad at me for making you turn off the AC.
I know, I'm sweating. But I'm going to pull through for the sake of the pod. All right, is that all?
Yep.
Okay.
I think we've wrung enough content out of that as much as we possibly could. I don't know. If anyone has any thoughts on this episode, please feel free to write in.
Sure. I'm glad to hear other people's thoughts on this. Maybe we missed something. Maybe we neglected to talk about something. But I really think that... What?
Sorry, go on.
No, I was going to say, I really think that we did it justice, but you seem to have another thought. So go on.
Yes. My other thought is completely unrelated to this episode. It's something I forgot to mention last time.
Oh, okay.
It just hit me all of a sudden.
Go for it.
In a previous episode, I said that Brock said... that he saw Illugia in the Orange Islands.
I thought that happened.
That is untrue. Oh. James is the one who says that they saw Illugia in the Orange Islands. Brock says he's never seen one before, but he's heard that blah, blah, blah about Illugia.
Okay, so it's easy to get confused between James and Brock, I know.
Eric Stewart's of the world.
Yeah.
So, yes, that was not a continuity error. I just misremembered.
All right, so I think we did discuss everything we possibly could discuss about the Noctowl episode. Sadly, we didn't get to see another blimp.
Well, didn't we find out there's only, like, a few blimps left in the world?
Well, after the twerps come through and all the blimps get destroyed... then yes, I think their numbers are dwindling.
Remember that super blimp that had the Kecleon on it? That had like a mall?
Oh yeah. It was like a cruise liner of the air.
Oh lord.
Gym battle time. This all is right. The moment we've all been waiting for, right?
3, 2, 1, go.
All right. So Ash is getting his morning training in ahead of his gym battle with Jasmine. And they're met by Janina, who is escorting them back to the gym. But before they can get there, they encounter a giant... Mecha Metal Wobbuffet statue, which I feel like is a tip of what's coming, but anyway, they try to stop it. Onyx is ineffective, but Steelix appears and knocks it out easily, and they get into the battle, and Cyndaquil ends up winning.
So what do you mean it was a tip of what's going to happen? I don't understand.
It's a Team Rocket plot, obviously.
It's a tip?
It should be a tip-off. That
a tip-off of...
Team Rocket appears.
Oh, the fact that it's a Wobbuffet should be clear that Team Rocket
sorry, is was that not something. Clear?
I thought you were saying that Team Rocket's plot foreshadowed the gym battle.
No, I'm sorry. Okay. I got too excited about the Team Rocket part, so I think I spent too much time talking about
I don't know
about
why
that.
You got so excited about the Team Rocket part. That was not interesting. I took like 3 notes on it.
Oh, okay.
And all those notes say is, Ash stupidly puts Pikachu on a spring-loaded panel that eats Pikachu.
I'm sorry. I just felt like... I thought this would be so obvious. I'm like, guys.
Well, yes.
You've encountered Team Rocket enough times to know this is obviously them.
I think it's obvious to the 5-year-olds watching.
I guess I thought I had more time, but it's hard to summarize a gym battle episode because literally it's just battling and then...
Well, I'm going to do it.
It's either one outcome or another, so...
So, okay, Pikachu's kidnapped by the giant Wobbuffet. Janina's Onyx and Brock's Onyx try to double penetrate the Wobbuffet, but it doesn't work.
Whoa!
So instead, Jasmine has to have her big Steelix energy with her giant Steelix that appears from out of the side of a wall. It blasts off Team Rocket because Steelix is so cool. Also, Jasmine appears in silhouette and she leaps off a cliff and does a triple somersault through the air and lands on Steelix. Because Jasmine, as we know, is like a goddamn action hero.
She's an Olympic level.
She's like Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Get to the Steelix.
Well, that's pretty good.
I don't even want to mention this because I love Steelix. Steelix is great and Onyx is great and they're all great. Everything's great.
What's not great, Alex? What's not great?
What's not great is his teeth. Oh. I don't think I'm a big fan of the teeth.
I don't even know how to describe that. The teeth that are like a jigsaw puzzle teeth.
It's like that. It looks like it has teeth that have been knocked out, but it's also like the giant squareness of it all, which... You know, I had the weirdest random thought pop into my head. Are you familiar with Welcome to Night Vale, right?
Yes.
There's a part, and I'm probably butchering this, but there's a part when Cecil is describing... Who's the scientist guy?
Carlos?
Carlos. Is that right? Thank you. Yeah. Yes, I think that's right. And he describes them as, like, His giant perfect teeth.
Giant perfect teeth.
Like tombstones or something, because they're like square. I think that's how he describes it. And I don't know why, I just thought of that. But it's like, Onyx has giant tombstones in its mouth. Like, that's what its teeth look like to me.
Is Welcome to Night Vale still running? It has to be.
Honestly, I don't know. I've tried several times to listen to it, and I fall off all the time.
After the Strexcorp arc, I completely lose interest.
Yeah, I think that's where I ended off, like, too, is when I remember that happening, and then I remember that girl who gets, like, caught in, like, time. Like, she's in the other dimension.
That was good stuff. But then after all that is resolved, it's like, I don't care anymore.
What even happens after that? I'm not even sure.
I don't even remember.
I've had to resort to fanning myself. I'm so hot.
You're such a baby.
Don't be such a wimp. Okay. Anyway, that was a weird thought that just popped in my head. Sorry about that.
Sure. Okay.
Sure.
Now it's time for the gym battle. And Janina she's roughing. And it's time for Magnemite versus Pikachu, which goes on for quite a while.
I'm sorry. Can you go back? You missed the whole backstory that Jesse had. We didn't talk about Jesse and her blue balloon pencil.
Oh, okay. Talk about the Snorlax fart.
You can't just gloss over that. Okay, so if anybody was wondering about the inspiration for the metal Wobbuffet, it was because...
I mean, we were all wondering. We all had the question. It was just the obvious question to ask.
I did. I know I did. I'm sorry if you didn't, but I needed to know. I was burning with curiosity. Just like, that's why I'm sweating so bad. I was so curious. So yeah, I guess I had to think about this because it wasn't like apparent from the outset. Because I was like, what does a pencil case have to do with a Wobbuffet? But I think they were referencing its indestructibility, right?
I guess.
So the outer shell of the Wobbuffet is made out of a titanium alloy that's like really indestructible. And Jessie herself was inspired by the blue balloon pencil case that she could not afford as a youth. Even a Snorlax could step on it and not destroy the pencil case. And she was too poor, so she didn't get one. So all the kids laughed at her and made fun of her. And she had to put her one pencil that she owned behind her ear instead of in a pencil case. So that was the backstory of the Wobbuffet.
Poor Jessie.
I know. I just love Jessie's backstories because what's true, what's not.
Someone needs to make a compilation of all of Jessie's backstories and put them in chronological order.
We should have done that, but we didn't think about it.
There's a lot of stuff we should have done.
Hindsight's 2020. Anyway.
We don't live in hindsight. We live in the present day. And the present day is 2001 or 2002 or so. And it's during Johto, during Ash's 6th gym battle with Jasmine.
So exciting.
Magnemite versus Pikachu. Pikachu ends up taking a big hit from Magnemite, all according to Keikaku, because Ash is draining Magnemite's energy so that Pikachu can take out Magnemite with a quick attack.
Sure.
And now it's time for Steelix versus Pikachu. Getting past that Magnemite quick. By the way, it's a 2-on-2.
I'm sad that when we first saw Jasmine, her Magnemite was not in her hair.
Yeah, she moved it from her hair to her Pokeball.
Yeah.
It's for the best.
Is it? I love Magnemite.
I wish she had a Steelix right on her shoulder like that in her hair.
Definitely. Oh my gosh, do you remember the little mini... Oh my god, the mini episode where it turned into like a mini Arbok and it was like...
Oh, I thought you were going to talk about the Crystal Onyx episode where Jessie wanted to make a necklace out of the Onyx's tail. Drag the Onyx around with her.
Because that's completely feasible.
Yeah.
But no, I was just suddenly thinking, what if Jasmine had a little mini Steelix that rode around on her shoulder? How cute would that be?
What if she did?
What if she did? I don't know.
I think you want a little mini Steelix.
Who wouldn't?
What would you feed it? Iron ore?
Rocks and shit, I guess.
Okay, I don't know.
Not rocks and shit. Various
rocks. Its own shit.
Yeah. Would its shit be rocks?
I guess it's like an earthworm. It like tills the soil.
They never talk about that.
Only Ponyta's poop.
Oh, and that's Brock's right.
To shovel it.
Right. I mean, they do talk about eating Pokemon and stuff. Like, there's some of that in like the Pokédex entries and lore and stuff. I mean, do they ever talk about like Pokemon excrement being used as like fertilizer or something? Like,
Gary found Corpolite.
Okay, so there is a reference to that in a way, in a roundabout way.
We're getting really specific with our callback to this episode.
I don't know. Why not?
Okay, Pikachu versus Steelix. And Pikachu's knocked out pretty quick by some Iron Tails. So now it's time for Cyndaquil versus Steelix. I thought this was a cool battle. This felt... Alex is not impressed. Because they set it up. Steelix has a signature move of using Sandstorm as a counter shield to block attacks, including Flamethrower.
That is pretty cool, I guess.
Yeah, when it's creating its, like, sandstorm vortex, it digs into the ground to sneak up on Cyndaquil. Which is kind of cool that a giant creature like that can sneak up on a little mouse. Or whatever the hell Cyndaquil is.
I'm just more interested in how it's burrowing tunnels under this gym and the whole building's not collapsing from the structural issues.
So this goes on for a while, and Ash eventually gets the idea to use a smokescreen, and then Steelix uses Sandstorm to kind of counter the smokescreen. Doesn't really make sense, but whatever. But while that's happening, Ash uses Jasmine's trick against her, and Cyndaquil goes into the holes, pokes his cute little head out from a hole, and blasts Steelix with a flamethrower from behind, like directly behind it.
Aww.
So that was cool. Then it seems like that Ash is going to do that strategy a second time, but Jasmine's like, well, you've already shown your hand. You can't do that a second time. So she has Steelix hit the ground with its tail and causes all the holes to cave in, which I think would have killed Cyndaquil 100%, right?
I mean,
if the ground caved in on it while it was under it.
Was it really? It was kind of interesting because it was like a pretty shallow hole. It's not like, I guess there was some rubble flying onto it or whatever, but I think it was, there wasn't enough coverage over its head to like fall on it. Like it was an open hole, you know, it wasn't like in the ground, like underneath the dirt. I mean, it was just kind of in the hole, so.
Well, Cyndaquil gets out, but he is propelled out of the hole and uses his flamethrower to slow down his descent, but he still hits the wall and gets hurt.
He's like at 1 HP at this point, because it seems he's
in the red.
His little flame starts to go out, and they're pretty lenient with this part. You know, honestly, I think in some battles, I mean, I know it's all for the sake of the story or whatever, but it's like, in some battles, they call it pretty quick. In others, they hang on for a while before the ref calls it, because Janina gives him a lot of lead time to be like...
I thought the exact opposite, actually.
Oh, really? Okay.
I thought Janina was a bad referee in this, because Cyndaquil's little flame starts to go out, but it still has little embers going. Mm-hmm. And Janina's like, okay, Cyndaquil's out. And I'm like, no, Janina, the music cues are indicating that Cyndaquil is not knocked out. Obviously, it doesn't have the swirly eyes. And the fact that it still has little embers are an indicator of its ability to continue. Janina needs to read the script and understand the visual and audio hints that the show is giving to the audience that Cyndaquil is not knocked out.
So okay, I guess I can see where you're coming from. It hadn't clearly been knocked out entirely because it hadn't, its little flame hadn't gone out totally, and its little eyes weren't dizzy, so.
Right, the swirly eyes.
Gotcha.
So I don't know, I thought Janina was getting ahead of herself.
Okay, you convinced me.
And I mean, she's like, what, 7 years old? Like, and we know she's a liar, and
she's a Jasmine stan. She wanted to just call it for Jasmine.
She likes to pretend to be Jasmine. She wears her dress.
Exactly.
And her little barrettes and her Magnemite. So Janina makes a bad call, but thankfully she allows it to continue when it comes clear Cyndaquil still has some HP left. Steelix just starts throwing its weight around and tries to kill Cyndaquil by crushing it on the ground.
That's terrifying.
Cyndaquil uses flamethrower, and Steelix defends itself with its Sandstorm counter shield. And it just keeps on spinning and spinning and spinning and spinning. Sandstorm, Sandstorm, Sandstorm. And Ash is like, keep it up. Keep using flamethrower. Just don't stop using flamethrower. And at first I'm like, oh, Ash, you're just going for a might makes right kind of strategy. He's just attacking, attacking, attacking. No, Ash outwit me. Because It turns out he had an Ash strategy that he was putting into place. And he was actually heating up the sandstorm through the flamethrower's heat. And the sandstorm ignites in a flame and becomes a towering inferno.
Like a fire spin, kind of.
And completely envelops Steelix. So its protective layer of sand becomes an offensive assault on Steelix. Yes, Alex?
Okay, a couple thoughts. One, I was a little upset at Ash for working Cyndaquil so hard because he's like, keep going, more power, ultimate power. And poor Cyndaquil is like in the red, you know, it's do-do-do-do. And it's like trying to maximum power this flamethrower. And it's working so hard, that poor little thing. And two, did you think, I know they use the whole fire spin angle on it, but I was actually thinking somehow, I don't know how this would work, but the sand would turn into glass or something.
I think it was getting close to that point because it lit up like a flame. Because
at what point does, I mean, you heat up sand, it turns into glass. So I was like, how would that affect Steelix? Like, would it slash it to death? Like, I don't know.
It would suffocate.
That wasn't the way they went.
It doesn't get quite that hot. That'd be insane, but we're not at like thunder armor levels of preposterous just yet. We're at the flaming inferno levels of preposterous.
Okay. We'll have to wait until, that's a Hoenn thing, right?
Yeah, it is a Hoenn thing.
Okay.
So Steelix is pretty much burned to a crisp and it's just standing there. It's covered in soot and ash. Not that ash.
I'm sorry, can I just make a comment on the Steelix, like, silhouette thing that they had? Like, I thought this was really cool, actually, because they're standing there after Steelix gets incinerated, and it's got this cool visual effect where steam is, like, rising off of its head, and it's standing there, like, imposingly, but its eyes are all black, like, there's no pupil in there, and they're, like, thinking to themselves, like, oh my god, it's still standing, and Misty makes a comment, she's like, why didn't it work, or something like that. And then it falls over. I thought that was really cool. I'm sorry. I don't know why.
No, it was pretty cool. It was neat. It was the classic two samurai run at each other.
Yes.
And you don't know which one got slashed until one of them falls down.
Yeah, kinda. That's so right. Thank you for putting words into how I felt. Because I was like, it's just standing there and you don't know if it's actually affected or is it going to open its eyes and attack again? Like,
no, I thought it was pretty clear that it was going to fall over. And I was Janita, call it now.
Well, Janita, yeah.
You were in such a hurry to get Ash out of there.
We knew that, but still for that 1 second, you're kind of like, the characters anyway are like, what's going to happen?
So Steelix falls over dead. And Ash wins the mineral badge.
Hooray!
Yay, 6 badges. I think now we're in the end game.
Who's left?
Icy Price
and Claire.
Those are two good ones right there.
Austin, are you ready to handle the sheer craziness that is going to come out of me when we get to Icy Price?
No, I'm not. We got a few episodes to go before we get there, though.
Darn.
No, we really are in the end game, though, of JoJo now.
This is crazy. I can't believe it. I know we simultaneously say, like, oh my god, JoJo's gone on forever, but then I'm also like, oh my god, JoJo's ending? No way. We can't be there
yet. Yay! Remember that when we get to the Vileplume versus Blossom episode and, like, great. What else? The Macargo episode.
Well, wait a minute. I don't remember the Macargo episode, but I feel like Macargo's underrated.
We'll see what we think when we get there.
All right.
So it's over now. Jasmine's like, where are you going? Nash is like, I have no fucking idea. But they're actually going to go to, I think it's Mahogany Town.
Yes.
Is that right? To find Icy Price. That's our next goal. But we got to go through Ecruteak on the way there. So that means Morty!
Oh my god, love Morty. Can I just say I love the sassiness that Misty gives? She's like, Brock is like, we're headed to Mahogany Town. You know, he's looking at his little book. And Jasmine's like, oh, well, to get there, or was it Janina? I can't remember which one. It's like, oh, to get there, you have to go through Ecruteak City. And Misty's like, yeah, we've already been there, but thanks a lot for the tip.
I didn't catch that at all.
I was like, yeah, we've already been this. This is old news.
Janina says, Ash, make sure you come back to Olivine City to battle me. And Ash is like, will do. We never see Janina ever again.
Okay.
Ash never goes back to Olivine City.
I don't blame him.
All right, and it's done. I think that was the best gym battle we've ever had.
Whoa. Hot take.
To this point, do you disagree?
Okay, wait. Let's go through them again. We had Bugsy. No, I'm sorry. We had Faulkner, Bugsy, Whitney, Morty.
And Chuck.
Chuck. Okay, Faulkner was a crazy person. Bugsy was unremarkable. I don't really remember that battle.
Bugsy had a Metapod.
Oh my god, the Metapod. Whitney was boring. Morty.
Jacob loved the Whitney episodes.
What was the reasoning again? I can't remember.
I think he just liked how Miltank was OP.
Yeah, Miltank in the game is a different story.
Morty had Noctowl using confusion in the whole room.
Sure. Okay, I will say I really like Chuck's whole, like, submission weirdness shenanigans that was going on. And
well, I'm not talking about characterization. I'm talking about, like, battle sequences. Like, the choreography of battling.
Sure, I guess I'll agree with you. We got the fiery vortex, we've got the... And we didn't really, I mean, kind of touched on it, but we didn't go super into detail about... This is kind of peak Ash, right? Like, he's using his signature environment strategy.
I think that's why I really like this. You're right, Alex. Because it's Ash thinking on his feet, thinking in unconventional ways, turning Steelix's moves and strategies against it directly, responding in real time to what is happening. And that's Ash's whole thing.
That's a good... I like this showing for him. I think that this is his... That's Ash's signature strategy, right? It's like the environment of it all.
Using the holes that were left over as the environment. The holes.
And then also, there was one part when it was dodging Iron Tail, using the flamethrower as a cushion not to hit the wall. So he's like, aim the flamethrower at the wall. Brock was like, it won't be able to dodge from that angle, the Iron Tail, without, you know, something crazy. But then Ash uses that as a tactic to get away when Cyndaquil couldn't have normally spun around that quick.
To mitigate the damage, yeah.
Yeah. So he did get hit, but he didn't get hit entirely.
I think Ash is really good at thinking of the battlefield as a 3D space.
Yeah.
I think that's one of his big strengths.
I'm sorry, my air conditioner just came on again and there's nothing I can do about it. So.
Fuck it. You win. Your air conditioner is on. Air conditioner gets MVP.
As we all know, the air conditioner scene from Brave Little Toaster gave me PTSD.
All right, I'm calling it. Episode over.
Anyway, I think it's a good point, Austin. I think that we got to see Ash really start to come into his own. And I really hope that this continues for his next couple battles. I don't remember those battles, so I'm interested to see how he conquers them. Any other thoughts? Otherwise, we can move on to MVP, LVP, and quote.
Nope.
Okay. Who's going first?
You're going first.
Okay. My MVP is going to be Cyndaquil, of course. Super cute. And
good one.
He worked really hard. He definitely pulled that battle. Cyndaquil had more focus than Pikachu ever did. Like, by the time we were done with the battle, I had completely forgotten Pikachu's contribution. Like, the whole Cyndaquil-Steelix thing was way more impactful, so...
Let's give Cyndaquil time to shine. It deserves
it. Exactly. It doesn't always have to be Pikachu's story. Let the other Pokemon have a chance. It worked really hard. It pulled through, and I think it did a really stellar job. So congratulations, Cyndaquil. My LVP is going to be Janina. Since you convinced me that she was too quick on the draw, she almost called it and didn't give our boy Cyndaquil time to shine. So she needs to do some work as a gym ref before she's really ready. My quote, I didn't have as many this episode.
Well, it's a battle episode.
Yeah, there's not a whole lot of dialogue. I guess, okay, when Brock sees Jasmine the first time when she rides in on her Steelix, he is awestruck and love-struck as usual, and he grabs her hand, and he's like, I stand before you in astonishment. And Misty says, I'm astonished you haven't come up with a new routine.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
I'm also going to do a Brock quote. Ash sees Steelix, and he pulls out Dexter to talk about Steelix. Because it's the first time we've ever seen it. And then Brock imitates Dexter's, like, you know, halting delivery of lines to be the Pokédex.
Right.
He says, Jasmine, the Olivine gym leader. She's a natural beauty, but prefers simple attire, choosing hair barrettes as her only accessory.
I did appreciate the Brock Pokédex entry of it all. That was clever.
For lack of other options, I had to pick that.
Sure.
My MVP is going to be Ash, for reasons already stated. And my LVP, if I can't be Janina, who else can I pick from Alex? Janina's Magnemite for no longer being a hair accessory.
You mean Jasmine's Magnemite.
God damn it, I hate these two. I'm so done with them.
There's not a lot of options. I mean, there wasn't really a whole lot of character other than those two, Jasmine and Janina, and then the twerps, but...
All right, yeah, I'll take it for Jasmine's Magnemite for not having the best showing in a battle, and for not being entertaining like it was the first time we saw it.
It got knocked out pretty easily. Okay, so what is on tap for next week?
It's an episode we've been waiting for, dreading, anticipating.
I know what it is. Oh,
you know what it is? How do you know what it is? Just because it's time.
Because the title of it, first of all.
Oh, you already know the title of it. Well, why don't you announce it?
Well, I don't have it up anymore. I think it's like Bulbasaur the Ambassador or something.
It's Bulbasaur the Ambassador, but I think they pronounce it Bulbasaur the Ambassador.
What?
We'll see how Veronica Taylor /Ash reads it next episode.
You know what? I honestly think it's not... I mean, you've kind of spoiled what happens. We all know it's coming. Like,
well, yeah, no shit.
And it's a Bulbasaur episode, so we all know what that means.
Finally. All right, we'll discuss that in 7 days' time. How about that?
Sure.
And Espeon not included.
Espeon not included? That's an interesting title.
I don't get the pun.
I don't... Espeon not included?
What's not included?
Like, batteries not included?
Batteries?
But like,
Espeon batteries?
Not included? Like, that, when I hear something not included, it's usually batteries not included, you know, at the end of a commercial for a toy or something, but like,
yeah.
Okay, I don't that's know a bad, what that episode I don't, is.
We're missing something. We're missing something obvious.
Are we, or is that it?
No shirts, no shoes, no Espeon, I guess.
I honestly don't remember what that episode even is, so...
A broken Espeon is right twice a day.
Sure.
What are some other cliches I can't think of?
Something espionage, Espeon, espionage. I don't know.
Like a spy. That'd be a good one.
We'll have to see. Maybe there's something having to do with batteries or something when we get to that episode. But okay,
all right,
I don't know how I'm gonna react. I'm gonna be sad, I think, next week. But
you're still talking about Bulbasaur.
Yeah, I know we haven't seen it, but
I gave Bulbasaur a pity MVP today because I knew it was the end.
I know. I think it's sad. Like, it really hasn't had, like, its time in the sun. Like, its last 15 minutes of fame. Like, it just, they've relegated it to the back burner, and they're like, okay, he's practically dead already. Like,
why is he still here?
I mean, that's a good question, but I feel like we should have had more screen time with it, knowing that it was going to go away.
Bulbasaur, we're going to discuss you at length next week.
Okay, yeah. We need to actually do you some justice next week, so we'll save it.
You're not an afterthought to us, Bulbasaur.
No, never. Number one in our hearts.
Number one of the Pokédex.
I know, exactly. Okay, well, if we don't have any other thoughts, I think I'll take us out. Any other thoughts? No? Good? Okay. Well, we'd like to say, as always, thank you so much for listening and keeping up with us in our shenanigans. We really appreciate it. Of course, if you have any thoughts or feedback or just want to share, you can always reach out to us on our Gmail account. That is outofthedryingpan@gmail.com. Again, outofthedryingpan@gmail.com. And check us out on our Twitter/X account at outofdryingpan. Again, outofdryingpan. Austin put some cool stuff over there. And there's also an Instagram, which sadly hasn't been updated in a while. So hopefully I'll find something cool to post over there. But you can check us out at outofthedryingpan at Instagram. And if you want to support what we do and like our episodes and want to see more content, or like Austin mentioned at the beginning, joining us as a guest host on one episode of your choice, you can always consider supporting us at our Patreon. So if you'd like to check us out, the link is in our description, and you can see what all comes with being a member over there. And I'd like to say, as we all like to say on Out of the Drying Pan, thank you all so much for listening again, and join us next week as the journey continues.